Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is Entail Enhanced. To see pictures, articles, and links of what's being discussed, download the Entail app.
Welcome to You Come First with me, Megan Barton Hansen. You may know me from the 2018 series of Love Island. Since before Love Island, I've always had a passion for women's rights and interests. So I'm here to tell you everything you need to know when it comes to putting yourself first. Whether this be in a relationship, in the bedroom, your career, or your mental health. I've called in friends from around the world for an intimate, unfiltered conversation that will change your life forever. Expect lots of laughter, a few tears, and for the penny to finally drop as we discuss the most taboo and private topics. I'm here to get brutally honest. When will you realise that you come first? Welcome back to You Come First with me, Megan Barton Hansen. Today I'm joined by a fellow Essex native, Pete Wicks. We're going to get real about the reality TV industry. I'm going to ask Pete how he got into the industry, what he thinks of it, and see if he's happy with his career choice. Has it affected his life in a good or bad way? And what advice he'd give to others just starting out?
Hi Pete, how are you?
I'm fabulous, my love. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You look delightful.
Thank you. Don't look too bad, despite the slick back hair.
Why have you got to pick on me straight away? Right? Listen, I've come on here as a guest. You're supposed to be nice to me. You can't just pick on me straight away and go, look at the state you are. What's happened to your barn here?
I watched Howie and I feel like everyone picks on you, so I thought I'd just join the bandwagon.
Well, can't you just be nice to me? See, everyone picks on me and you're just going to jump on that. Be nice to me for a change. They do actually all pick on me, though, to be fair.
I did say you smell wonderful, though.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, Pete, thank you so much for coming on. It's safe to say you know a thing or two about reality TV. So there really is no better person to have on to discuss this. You've done TOWIE, Celebs Go Dating, Celeb MasterChef, Celeb Island, to name a few. I forgot about Celeb MasterChef.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people forget about it because I was shit.
Didn't you say you got everyone drunk on there or give them shots with a side of cake?
Yeah, basically every dish that I served up came with a drink because that's generally how I live my life. When you're drunk, everything's better.
Literally.
But yeah, it was, I'm not a very good cook, I'll be honest with you.
Are you not?
Well, no, and I'm vegetarian as well, so I had to learn how to cook again. Like, I eat meat my whole life and then when I become vegetarian, I had to learn how to cook again. And it's really hard to cook vegetarian food because it just generally all tastes like shit, doesn't it? No, I'll be honest with you, it does taste like shit.
I haven't tried. So what did you cook them?
Well, I'll be honest with you. What's the names? John and Greg. Good mates of mine, John and Greg. they told me my sticky toffee pudding was the best they'd ever had.
Amazing.
Salted caramel, little sauce on it. I made a toffee vodka, fermented toffee vodka I made at home. That got them absolutely fucked, which is why I think they liked it.
That's why it tasted
that,
so good.
Well, that was the idea. Basically, if you get everyone fucked, then they can't really taste anything, can they? So that was the idea, get everyone pissed. I was pissed through most of it as well, to be honest with you.
Nothing tastes better, though, than when you come back from a night out and order that Just Eat. It's so good, isn't it? Food tastes amazing when you're
actually
drunk.
Yeah, everything's better when you're drunk, to be fair. I find people a lot nicer when I'm drunk.
That's how I deal with a lot of people, I feel.
Yeah, because I don't really like people. I'll be honest with you, I like animals. I don't really like people. But when I'm drunk, I can tolerate more people.
Yeah, just rises that tolerance. Well, exactly. That was my motto during stripping, and I just haven't got rid of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm drunk now.
Are you?
Yeah, just to tolerate you.
That is savage.
No, I'm joking.
Mean. We're going in with these questions now.
Oh, no. I should have been nice with you. Oh, fuck, I've done it. That's it. That's been fucked.
But yeah, let's start from the very beginning. So how did it come about that you was on reality TV? Like, did you get approached or did you audition?
So I've been doing this for what? 6 years, 7 years, something like that now. I worked in the city before all the TV stuff. I've never watched reality TV. I still don't watch it now. I've never watched Towie. I've never watched myself on TV.
Never watched yourself back?
Fuck no. I know I'm a dickhead. I don't want to see that back. but no, I've never watched any of that sort of stuff. But Lockie was on it and I'd been in the city. I was a sales director for a national healthcare recruitment company. So I had quite a good job in the city, but I think I just had enough. Like, I was doing 16, 17 hour days. Lockie was on the show. I then decided I wanted to set up a business on my own. Then there was other things that happened that I can't really talk about. I got sued. I basically went on Towie because Lockie said, come and do this. Then they approached me and I told them, no, I didn't want to do it. I think it's not really my cup of tea. Said it for ages. And then just before they went Marbella, about 2 days before they went Marbella, I went, oh, fuck it. Do you know what? I'll come out. I'll just do Marbella. Right. Said, I'll just do 10 days in Marbella with you, because I thought, oh, listen, I'll go on holiday with Lockie.
A free holiday.
It's a fucking free holiday, do you know what I mean? Go and get a bit of sun. And then it just went mental.
That was my thinking with Love Island. Yeah. Why would you say no to a free holiday?
Well, that was basically it. I mean, Love Island was slightly better than 10 days in fucking Marbella, do you know what I mean? Like at least you had a bit of time over there. But yeah, I just never thought anything would come of it, really. I just thought I'd go over there, cause a bit of trouble, and then go back to normal.
I didn't know you was friends with James before.
Me and Lockie are from similar sort of areas, and the way we actually met properly, we knew of each other, but we met in Liverpool, a playground in Liverpool.
Right.
Do you remember that club?
No, I don't remember.
So there was a club in Liverpool called Playground, and he come up to me, and he took the piss out of me. He said, saying, when you're from around my area, and I said, yeah. And he went, what the fuck are you wearing? I can't, something like that. I said, who the fuck are you talking to, you big butt? And I basically offered him outside, and that's how we become mates.
I love that.
So glad he didn't hit me, though, because he's big. He's really, really big. But yeah, that's how we become mates. Yeah, and then we ended up on Towie together.
I feel that's like how the best friendships start out, though. Like with girls, it's like...
What, people starting on each other?
Well, normally it's like, you look like a bitch, and then like, yeah, you look like a bitch, and then you become best friends.
Is but that I guess how you make friends?
Yeah,
when you're on a night
pretty
out,
much.
You look like a bitch.
Yeah.
And then an hour later, you're both getting pissed and not everyone's mates.
I kind of like it, though, because I feel like you're a really nice person and I'm a really nice person, but you come across the sort of person that people want to start on, and people always say to me, oh, my God, you look like such a bitch before I knew you.
Yeah, do you know what it is? It's really weird. People always think, this is like a first impression thing. What do you think people's first impressions of you are?
Stuck up, bitch.
They were my first impressions of you.
Oh, stunning.
No. First time I met you, yeah, but we didn't really... we didn't really know each other, and that's the first impressions you do get of people. And the first impressions people have of me is always that I'm arrogant and I take things too seriously and I'm a right miserable prick. I mean, they're sort of true, most of them, but I'm not actually as bad as what people think.
No.
But it's mad when you actually meet people, how different people are to what you imagine they would be, especially if you've seen them on TV.
Do you think you play up to it a bit? Like, when do you think you carry on the... Like, you're not trying to be super extra. Because I think a lot of people in reality TV, they've come from, like, I don't know, like a musical theatre background or something, and they're very extra about everything. Do you think you kind of play up and be like, no, I'm not going to be the stereotype that you want me to be?
Do you know what? Like, I've the way I've always done this whole reality thing is like, a bit weird. Because I don't watch it, I think that's a good thing, because I don't get caught up in it.
Mm.
Does that make sense? So... I've got like this fucking nickname, like Pirate Pete. Like, I'm not actually a fucking pirate, am I? But that's like the TV Pete.
Yeah.
And it's still me, but it's like a version of me.
Mm.
And then real life Pete, like now or when I go out with the mates or whatever else, it's still me, but that's the real me. And that's the bit that I don't want everyone to see. I think when you do reality TV and people are watching your life, you've got to keep some of it for yourself. Because if you just... throw everything out there, that's when it starts getting a bit dangerous, I think, when it comes to like how you deal with stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. And then you're putting your whole self out there for people to judge, whereas right now they're just judging you on Pirate Pete.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. Listen, I can't give a monkey's what anyone says about fucking Pirate Pete. He is a dickhead. Yeah, that's my dickhead side, but there is maybe some nicer sides that people don't really see. But also, when you do TV, people only see, I mean, you know, it's like that kind of edited version of 3 minutes of something that maybe lasted an hour, and it's the bit that makes the best TV and might be taken out of context and might whatever else. And then 1 week everyone thinks you're in a complete wanker, and then the next week everyone loves you. So it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? So you can't really take what anyone says seriously. Fuck them all.
I have actually watched on a few things, and I do think there is a slight glimpse of like a sensitive, nice side.
Yeah,
it's not.
We've been
like,
watching.
It's not like complete. It's probably Joe Wicks. So I wouldn't worry.
That's the body coach.
Actually, yeah, I think I might have got you confused.
Do you know what? If one more person asks me if that's my brother, it's not. By the way, obviously, because he's good looking, clever, and talented. I'm more like Joe Wicks's afterbirth.
Stop. So, looking back, do you think the industry is what you thought it would be?
Because I didn't really know anything about it, I didn't really have any preconceptions about what it would be, but I think it's changed loads even since I've been doing it. Even the past 6-7 years, I think it's changed so much, because when I joined TOWIE, that's it. When I joined TOWIE, there wasn't that many reality shows on. Since then, Love Island's come on and quite a few, and now there's so many reality shows, every fucker's on TV.
Yeah,
everyone's on TV. And there seems to be so much competition for jobs and people like trying to fucking do each other over and whatever else. And it's just become a bit of a, I don't know, it's just got a bit of a negative tone to it, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's so many people on TV that want to be on TV now rather than just happen to be on TV because, you know, they had a personality. Now people are making up personalities for TV. And actually, that's nothing fucking like what they are in real life. The amount of people that I work with, naming no names, all the amount of people that I've worked with that you think, if I had to sit and have a beer with you, I would rather punch myself in the face repeatedly. But then you see them on telly, everyone thinks, oh, they must be wonderful. No, they're not. They're a dickhead.
Yeah. I do feel like even with Love Island, where it's got such a big show now, people filter themselves. And you can see through it. Well, obviously being in there with them, and you obviously being in TOWIE, like you can see through it. But it's so infuriating when people at home love this person, and you're like, but they're not like that. They're just putting on this act, or like shouting instead of speaking at a normal decibel just to be noticed. And it's like, 100%. What's wrong with you?
100%. It's the whole point of reality TV is it's supposed to be reality, but it fucking ain't. It's really not. I mean, I'm probably going to get loads of trouble for saying that, but it's not really, in terms of the fact that people aren't being themselves. So there's nothing real about that. Like, I mean, it's quite funny, actually. I have a guy a couple of years ago. I don't know if I've told you this before, but I met a guy who does, he works in a petrol station that I always get my petrol from. And every time he used to go in there, he used to go to me, are you not fed up of playing Pete now? Like, do you not want to try different characters? He genuinely didn't think. And I'd be like, you know, I am P. And he'd be like, no, come on, see, what's this, like, method acting? What's your name?
Stop it.
Well, fucking Pete. And he'd be like, no, surely not. And then anyway, kept going on and on. I couldn't work out whether he was joking or being serious. And then a couple of months later, I told him that I'd got a new job and that I was playing a guy called Dave. And he went, fabulous. So what are you going to make him like? And I thought, I genuinely do think people don't really, like, a lot of people aren't acting in reality. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They've seen people that have maybe been successful before, like people that back in the day when reality first started have done quite well, and they try and be a version of that. So I'm going to try and be the villain. I'm going to try and be the playboy, like the ladies' man. I'm going to try and be the fucking mouthy bird that goes mental. I'm going to be the nice person. Just be your fucking self.
That
Why are you
so
trying to be
true.
A character of someone that has been on reality TV? Be yourself. And if yourself ain't good enough or people ain't interested in you, well, it's your own fucking fault for being boring.
Yeah, it's so true. I feel like, especially with like Love Island and ones where it's like a different cast each season, there always seems to be like repeat, or like you said, people trying to imitate someone from a previous year. But I think that's why I wanted to get you on and speak to you. Like, I don't think with like reality lads, I feel like they all really fit into like a stereotype. They're all like proper like gym goers,
muscle
like,
Marys with no personality.
100%.
Yeah. Whereas, what were you trying to say then? You know what I mean? That's all right. So I thought I'd get you in because you look like shit, right?
No, but I feel like you've been really authentic to yourself. You haven't tried to like fit into this stereotype, and even like you'll speak more about your dogs than like some like bougie supercar you've got, or like wearing this design or doing this and being really like bougie. I feel like you're more
bougie.
Authentic.
What a word. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't actually know.
You don't know what it means? You can't sit and say bougie and then go,
it sounds, I don't know, is good. It like, is I it use like, a lot, I'm from Southend, I use a lot of words.
Oh, fuck me, that explains a lot. Fuck me, if I'd known you from Southend, I wouldn't be here. Jesus Christ. Fucking COVID's the last of my worries if you come from Southend.
You are evil. How are you just rinsing me on my own podcast?
Sorry. Well, listen, what am I supposed to do? I'll be nice now. What was the question?
Have you never felt that pressure to conform into this like stereotype of reality lads?
Do you know what? The thing with people being flash, I fucking hate that anyway. I just don't like that. It doesn't matter what you got. It's more about the person you are. I've always thought that. And it doesn't, like, a lot of the people that do reality TV are quite young now. Like, I'm knocking on a bit, to be honest with you. And I started doing it when I was a bit older. I was 26 or something, which to really is probably a little bit older to do reality TV. And a lot of people are like 18, 19 years old. They've never had a job. They've never really worked. Or they've never had to earn their own money properly. A lot of them have still lived at home and then all that sort of shit. And then they come out of doing a show, and for the first year they earn like a fair bit of dough, and then start fucking buying mad stuff, or buy a fucking house, or fucking buy a car and want to show everyone about it, which I completely get.
Yeah.
But they think that it's going to last forever. It fucking ain't. Not one fucker gives a shit who you are 18 months later.
Yeah, it's
like,
so true.
Especially with like Love Island. Again, I've never watched Love Island. Love Island is a great show. Like, everyone loves it and watches it. But each year, it's only one or two people or a selection of people that will still have a job.
Mm.
Because each year, a new crop of people who are the same as the people the year before, but better.
Yeah.
And they're newer, fresher. They're more interesting. People are more interested in them. And then everyone gets left behind. And then people still then can't come. They can't get back into real life. Because they go on this mad high, and then it all starts fucking dropping off, and they're like, what the fuck am I going to do now?
Yeah. And in the meantime, they've wasted all this money on, like, the flashy car and finance and, like, yeah, the Rolex and this and that, and you're like, okay, now what?
Yeah, and it also, all that sort of stuff don't mean shit. Like, the whole point of, like, I semi-regret doing reality TV.
Really?
Oh, massively, yeah. Like,
so if you could go back to working in the city, would you still be working in the city?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What? How come you're still in it?
Because I can't go back now. I've done it for so long now, I'd always just be, weren't you that homeless-looking bloke that was on Towie? Like, and also, listen, I've had, do you know what, actually, no, saying I regret, it's a bit of like a double-edged sword, really, like, because I don't regret my way of life now, because my way of life's better.
Mm.
Like, I get to do some amazing things and go some amazing places, and every day is different, and my way of life is 100%, my quality of life is better. But I struggle with the fact that I don't really feel like I have a job.
Right.
I don't really feel like, when someone says, if I go on holiday or something, and I like talking to people, so I'll start speaking to, I don't know, fucking random American people or whatever, and they go, so what do you do? I tell them I'm an electrician.
Do you?
Yeah.
Pete the electrician.
Well, how can you go, when they say, what do you do? What do I say?
I'm on TV. I'm a TV personality.
A TV? What the fuck is a TV personality, Megan?
You.
No, it's not. That's not a job.
Pirate Pete that loves his dogs and isn't like a massive roid head that's got no brain. You've actually got a personality.
No, well, the one thing is I am on roids. It just not work. Look. grown in all the wrong places. You want to see the size of me pinky? No, on my finger.
Oh my God, not I hope obviously. My mum doesn't listen to this. Christ alive.
Oh, I'm sure your mum's are worse than me. Fuck me. How is your, what's your mum look like? She's good looking?
Don't worry about that.
Oh. So, I forgot what I was saying now. Yeah, so your TV personality is not really a job, I don't think. I think I'm really lucky that I get to do mad stuff that isn't really, it's not like real work. Like, people have proper fucking real hard jobs. Like, we're really, really fortunate to be able to do some of the things that we do and get paid to do what we do, because a lot of it, most of the time, it's fun. You have to deal with a lot of dickheads, but so does everyone in any job. But yeah, we get to do so many like fun things and things that you would never get a chance to do. Do you know what I mean?
It's still hard work, though, I feel.
Oh, it's 100% still hard work. It's definitely hard work. But I always just feel really grateful about the fact that I don't, like, what I do now is just so different all the time. It's hard work. Do you know what's hard? Or the hard thing about reality TV, I think, or that whole industry, is staying relevant.
Yeah.
That's hard.
And do you struggle with that? Like, do you get anxious about that? Do you worry, like, when your next... Obviously, without TOWIE, because that's your main, like, bread and butter, you're always going to do that. But, like, in between that, do you think, what's the next job? Do you stress about that? Because I think everyone thinks that reality people, you've gone on one show, like, I've gone on Love Island, and they expect me to be, like, the papers are right that I'm worth so much money, and it's not true.
Know,
I'm like everyone else.
Fact, that's the main reason I'm here, actually, is because I wanted to borrow some money.
You want me to take you for dinner after?
Yeah, if you take me for dinner after,
put you on the payroll.
Yeah, you're paying because I've left my wallet at home. but yeah, if you put me on a payroll, I don't mind carrying your bags. Like, I'll do that sort of stuff. I think a lot of people do stress about, like, because we're self-employed.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think people realise that. People don't really understand. You know, like, yeah, you get a lot of people in whatever industry that's self-employed. We're exactly the same. We don't know where our next paycheck's coming from. You don't know what your next job's going to be.
Yeah.
And I've been quite fortunate. Do you know what? It's a really hard one because I don't worry too much about that stuff because I always think if you work hard, the cream rises to the crop. And if you're a good person and you're meant to do something, then you will. Yeah. So I'm not a big worrier about that sort of stuff. But I know a lot of people do, and they have every right to, because it's so competitive now with everyone that's coming in. People undercut each other. It's a right nasty little business, this. It genuinely is. But women, especially, with all the posts and all the social posts and all that sort of stuff, women do a lot better than guys do in this game. 100%.
Do you think?
I think 100%.
I think there's more for women to post, obviously, like hair extensions.
There's more money to be made for a woman... Unless you're a special kind of bloke.
But I feel like there's less men to compete with.
Do you? No.
Well, more standout guys. I feel like there's only a select few.
Because
I don't really watch Love Island before I went on it, but I don't really remember a lot of guys from Love Island, other than Jack Fincham from my year. And obviously, Wes, who I dated. I can't really remember any...
How did that work out?
That's
in fact,
great.
Why don't we should we talk about you?
Oh no!
Oh, no! Hold on! Why don't you tell me about your
this
experiences?
This is my
in reality
podcast,
TV?
Pete. Oh, settle down, please.
I do this every time. I can't remember a lot of God, but the same as the women though. You can only really remember. Women have done better. Women have done better than men.
I think there's more. There's room more... for women to carry on and be like, right, advertise this beauty brand. This there's more products out there.
I think women can make more money.
Mm.
But it's more competitive for women because there's more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know I mean? Whereas I think for guys, I mean, I don't really do a lot of posts because I hate doing them.
I like the tequila one you done. That was pretty.
I find it really embarrassing. I hate doing them. You wait and see what I've got to post this weekend. I can't. I'm going to give you a little. I'll show you after this.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I do. fuck me. So, but I'll do it with like bigger brands and but I. When it comes to like the money side of stuff, I keep, I don't undercut people and I don't do all that sort of stuff. I have a price for things I do and I stick to that. If people want to pay it, then they want to pay it. And if they don't, they don't. And I think that's the best way you should be. Like when you stop people, all these people start undercutting. You've got people doing all these posts, doing like 5 posts a day for like fuck all money. Mm. And they're just undercutting it and it reduces it makes it worse for everyone. PAs for blokes is what social posts are for girls, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like this whole COVID thing, there's not been a PA knocking about at all for people. So all the people that did Winter Love Island,
yeah,
none of them people have had any opportunity to make any fucking money. Like that's the guys sad. haven't.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Come out and done that 60 fucking 80 day PA fucking tour.
Do you know that's one thing I regret, not doing PAs?
Oh, babe, you'd have loved it.
I feel like it would have been right on my street. Like, I love a drink, I love a little twerk, and I'm getting paid to do it. But I was so adamant. I was in love, and I'd obviously done all that being in the strip industry. I'd worked them on sociable hours. I was like, I'm not going to do it.
If COVID lifts, should we do a Megan and Pete PA tour?
Oh my God, we have to.
Should we do it?
Imagine. We'd be hospitalised by the third day, but it's fine.
Yeah, but let's not worry about it. We'll just do it. We'll do it from Zoom in the hospital. Just have a party in the hospital. But yeah, the PA stuff, even when I first started, I mean, the first year, all the PA stuff, I think I did over 250 dates in the first year. So that's I was doing 4 or 5 a week. It was for a year. And in fact, probably for the first 2-3 years, it was mental because there was more PAs then than what there is now because you didn't have all Love Island, you didn't have loads of different fucking shows. So there wasn't that many people. So they were just mental and they're such an experience.
I feel like this wasn't going to be one of my questions, but I need to ask. Please tell me your wildest PA story.
Wildest PA story. I can show you a video, actually. I got really pissed. I like a drink, so I generally get pissed on quite a few of them. You get the usual fucking weirdness, like, happen. I've had fainters, I've had criers,
You've had fainters? How
I've
are you saying that fainters. So casually? Like, you're Elvis, oh, you know, just the fainters.
No.
What do you do with them? Just sweep them aside and get on with it?
No. It's really awkward. I did have it, but that does sound really blasé, doesn't it? But it's because nothing surprises me anymore. I remember this girl coming up and fainting, and I thought I killed her. I didn't know what happened because I was pissed, and she just dropped to the floor. And then so I basically tried to catch this fucking bird as she dropped to the floor. And then I've started shitting myself, thinking, "Oh my god, what's it look like I'm touching her?" And then I've started walking away from her, so she was just lying on the floor, and I'm stood back like this, thinking, "Oh my god, what I don't know what to do." Then we're about to come over. Anyway, that was funny. I've had three generations turn up at PA. I had a granddaughter who brought her mum and her nan. Her nan was over 70, hadn't been out in over 20 years, but loved me. So I sat her nan down and got her doing tequila.
Stop. And I feel like the older women get, the less they give a shit. Like, I bet the nan was, like, groping you and all sorts.
You know when people think about, oh, listen, birds love a little fucking cock cuff. I'm telling you now. Right?
I am dead. A, like, cock cuff.
Oh, the little cock cuff.
I'm stealing that.
They love it, I swear to God. When you do the PA, they are just real handsy. Do you know what? If blokes did what women have done on PAs to me, they'd be fucking locked up, right?
They
fucking love it, they do. But the problem is by the time you've done these PAs, and a lot of the PAs you do are... people have been out for a long time by this point. They've had a lot to drink, and they've got quite excited. And when they do turn up, they are very sweaty. So, but I'm quite a tactile person, so I give everyone a kiss and a hug and all that, and then immediately regret it, because when you have someone's sweat and saliva all across your fucking... It's honestly, it can be quite grim, and a lot of them smell like cheese and onion crisps. And I have no idea why, it just seems to be a thing. But I actually love meeting people, so I love the PAs. In fact, I do have an issue, though, with some of the things that I do on PAs. So I've now got a tour manager because I have a tendency to drink too much and get a bit too excited. So, I mean, at one point, I was teabagging an ice bucket in front of a whole club of people. That was a terrible idea.
Pete, wait. Teabagging an ice bucket. Like, your ball sack was actually out teabagging, or you had your jeans on, your skinny jeans on still?
No. My ball bag was out.
No!
Yeah.
Okay.
It was hot, babe.
If we don't do this PA together, I need to just come. I'm going to be a fainter, I think, if I see the teabagging on an ice bucket.
I'll be honest with you, it was hot. What can you do? That happened. I also got really drunk at one point and thought it would be a really good idea to go crowd surfing. I've got a video of it.
I need to see this.
That was fun. It was at a PA that, you know, not like conventional like club PAs. It was in a car park in Wales.
Very original. Love that.
And yeah, I thought it would be really funny to go crowd surfing. And that hurt. I'll be honest with you, that hurt. Because I went crowd surfing forwards. So I think there was just a lot of blokes just punching me cock from underneath. And it really hurt. And then when I got sort of dropped in the middle of the car park, halfway through, I didn't then know what I was doing. I was just in the middle of a fucking rave at that point. And I thought, oh God, I don't know what's happening now. And then suddenly everyone's drinks. It was just a bit mad. But yeah, so now the tour manager tells me what I can and can't do. So he's like, no, sit down, put your cock away. Stop doing that. So they're not as fun as they used to be, but they used to be really fun.
Oh my God, it sounds amazing. Now yeah. I really
sorry,
regret
I've gone
not...
off a tangent there about teabagging and fucking crowd surfing. Should we get back to the reality industry? Fucking hell.
I mean, it is part of the reality industry, the PAs. I think no one's gone as wild on a PA tour as you, but...
No, I've heard some fucking stories.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what? The thing is, the PAs always get a bad reputation because a lot of blokes do ruin it for other guys. Because they go and do silly, fucking seedy... Like, you can have fun on a PA and get drunk and do some funny stuff. But everyone always thinks, especially where I've been single for such a long time, you must just go and sleep with women on PAs. I don't at all, ever. I barely...
Do you not?
No, genuinely. Because I have, like, a tour manager and all that sort of stuff anyway, but it's just not the environment to do that. Like, if people are queuing up to have a picture and people are just... like, it would feel like I was taking advantage a bit. Do you know what I mean? How did you find a PA from a girl's point of view?
I've worked in a strip club, it's not that different. Like, you have the same kind of drunk person that you need to deal with.
But did you have more women come up than men?
I did have a few women, but mainly men. But really? Then they'd be quite, like, rude. Whereas I think in the strip club, they've got a level of respect because they want that dance from you. Whereas in there, all they want is a picture. So they'll get there, have their picture, and then say some, like, rude comment. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, what the girls would. And what about the guys? Would they come up and would they try and stick it on you?
They would try.
Have you had some bad chat-up lines? Have you got a PA chat-up line for me?
No, I don't. Like, they were just awful. And it was so long ago. But I feel like no man that actually thinks he's got a chance with me would queue up because you wouldn't out of pride, would you? Yeah. So it's more women.
Yeah, it's really weird because I just can't imagine blokes queuing up for pictures with anyone. Like as a man, I don't care if Denzel Washington was there. I couldn't queue up for a picture.
And
I
think it is a pride thing.
It's more of a girl thing to do. Like, they go on a night out with all their mates and they'll go and get a picture and do all that sort of stuff. And I think so it just makes me laugh that there'd just be a queue of blokes just waiting for a picture of you. I love that.
Yeah, I think there was like half and half.
It's more about, you know, when you go to some of these clubs and you have like the people that work there.
Mm.
I mean, I may have slept with some of them. But not like...
Because they're dignified. They're not queuing up for a picture.
Well, no, it's not it's not dignified. I just would always find it. I think it's different because it's generally a chance for Donna from Doncaster to have a night off from the kids and then come down. So not necessarily my type.
Oh, so you don't have many young...
No, not really. I think because... the younger attractive women see me as sort of a shit sort of homeless looking tramp who's not that tall, you know what I mean?
Or again, it's the pride thing.
But whereas the older women kind of see me as a bit rough, you know what I mean? They kind of like that bit, oh no, look at his hair, oh yeah, love that.
Oh my God, stop.
That's basically what it is, whereas younger women are like, oh God, his hair needs a wash. You know what I mean? Like, it's more that.
Oh, the middle class mamas.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it is. If you're sort of posh and above 40, then I'm your man.
So moving on from the PAs, do you find it hard dating in the public eye? Like, for me, I know that I feel, like, hard to trust people's intentions unless they're in the industry. Do you feel like you're kind of closed off to dating people in the industry or not really? You would give...
Do you know what? The whole dating thing is a tough one anyway, because I think I find dating hard regardless. I found it hard before I did TV, and I think it is definitely harder doing TV because if you meet someone, I hate using the word like normal, but like someone that doesn't do TV, it's very hard for them to understand what you do. It's really hard. To be honest, I imagine it's probably similar for you. Like when you were a stripper, it's probably hard for blokes to understand what you then probably liked it at the beginning, then found it hard to understand because it's unsociable hours. You have to go to events. You have to, like, it's similar in TV. Like blokes are going to want you if you're a stripper, blokes are going to want you if you're in TV.
Yeah.
So having a boyfriend that maybe has like a normal job would probably find that quite difficult. And it's the same for like a as a guy. Like part of me going to PAs or me doing photo shoots or me being a bit flirty or whatever else with people, that's really hard for someone to understand if they've never been around that before.
Yeah.
So I think that's why a lot of people that are in TV or are within that industry end up dating each other, because they sort of get it and they sort of understand. And also, like, you'll know, our work comes and goes here, there and everywhere, and you're constantly travelling or moving or doing whatever. So someone that's sort of in one place, it's quite hard to ever really fucking see them and find the time, unless you're both doing a similar job.
Yeah, and someone to wrap their head around it, like you say, to be, I don't know, like, flirt with girls or put on that persona. Like, for me, it's a job. Like, I've recently done TV shows where I've had to, like, go and have dinner with an ex or go and get set up with someone, and an ex walks in, and it's like, nothing's ever going to happen. Like, it's a work thing, but the person I was seeing at that time took it so badly and was like, I can't believe you're doing that. But I think if you're in that industry, it's easier to understand and wrap your
completely.
Head around.
I don't think that's bad on their side. It's maybe that we forget sometimes, because we've been around like this game for a while, that it's not really that normal.
No.
And it is a bit odd. And actually for someone else it's quite hard, especially if we're constantly going like different places and going to events and nights out and doing whatever else. It's hard for someone, because that's not a normal thing that people do every day. And actually especially when it comes to the press, because, I mean, in all seriousness, I know I've not got the best reputation when it comes to women, but if I stand next to a bird, I'm shagging them in the press. If I'd have shagged the amount of people that the press think I've shagged, then honestly, my cock would have fallen off by now. So, like, once you get that reputation for being a certain way, that's it. I mean, I took my mum to an event a few years ago and was outside having a fag with my mum, just chatting to my mum. And my mum's 5'2", little blonde bird, and I had a bird at the time, and it all went in the papers the next day. Pete Wicks talking to Mystery Blonde.
No, and it was your mum?
It was my fucking mother.
Oh, my God.
To the point where I had to actually put up a picture on Instagram of my mum in the same dress going, it's my mum. But by that point, I was still getting abuse for about 3-4 days after of, there he goes again, fucking doing this, because people have just seen the headline. They don't read the fucking article.
It's so true.
So the headline, the clickbait could be, I mean, I'm described as Love Rat or Lothario no matter what I do. I mean, I could help an old lady across the road and they'll go, Love Rat Pete Wicks helps old deer.
It's so bad.
Do you know what I mean? Or as soon as you get targeted, people just see that part of it, and then that's the reputation they have of you, no matter what you do.
And I feel like once you've been labelled a certain thing in reality or in this industry, you're stuck with it. So just because on Love Island, say, for example, I was the girl who slept with two boys, like, boys on my season slept with two or more girls. No one's ever questioned them, labelled them. Every interview I do after, are you ashamed? Do you reckon your parents are ashamed? No, just because I'm female and I do it, but you're, like, stuck with this, like, reputation forever.
But do you think you're... So you're being a stripper before, you're one of the only people that's probably come out and said that openly and is proud of that, yeah?
Yeah.
So I've dated strippers before, and I've never had, I always think, what a fucking good job. Like, the girls used to earn some serious fucking money, and if you work in nice places, it's a fucking good thing to do. Do people always ask you questions with, in their head, thinking that you're going to be embarrassed by it?
Yeah. I think that's why I fully owned it when I went on Love Island.
That's the best, 100%. I think you've got to do that, because people automatically, this is one of the things, this social thing where guys can do what the fuck they want and women can't. I know women who are just as fucking bad as men when it comes to being snaky, or it comes to being this, or it comes to being that, and it comes to whatever. But women seem to get away with a lot of things because women are supposed to be seen a certain way.
Yeah.
So people don't, whereas a bloke, if you shag 100 women, people think, great, I couldn't give a fuck. If you shag them all in the same day, people would be like, great. As a bird, this is why people go on about how many women people... One of my mates said to me the other day, he started dating a bird, and he said, oh, I asked her how many people she slept with. I said, why the fuck did you ask her for a start? What difference does that make?
Mm.
And then he was raging at the response.
Love that you said that, because I feel like so many men judge women on the number of people they're set with, but if it's a man, it's like high fives all round.
Do you like sex?
I love sex.
I like sex, right? We all fucking like sex. I don't understand why people are afraid to say that. And I don't understand why what someone's done previously. I've been single most of my life. I've barely had, like, any long-term relationships. So I may have slept with a couple of people. do I feel like I should be judged on that? No, I fucking don't. But would it matter to me if a bird, like, it's basically what I was saying about my mate. So this girl that he'd been seeing has slept with 16 people. Mm. And he went, can you fucking believe that? I went, 16? Firstly, you shouldn't have fucking asked her. If anyone asked me, I won't tell them anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's anyone's fucking business what I've done before. If you're seeing someone, it's about what you two are going to do going forward.
Yeah. Doesn't matter the what you've fucking done before. The past is the past. And judge them on the person they are, exactly. Not the
judge
number
them on
of people
how someone treats you, not who they've slept with. I couldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And also 16, like it was like some catastrophic fucking number. Now, my mate is over 30 and so is she. She's over 30.
I think that's a great number. I'd be proud of that number.
I think she must have been a late starter. I mean, what was she doing? Do you know what I mean? But like, why are people so obsessed with, do you know what I mean? But why are people so obsessed with that sort of stuff? Things like that, I just don't get, because I don't think it's fair on women, but also I don't think it's right for a bloke to be proud of that either. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
And it's to your mate, but being 30 or over 30 and asking that question, like, people would ask that back in like senior school.
Yeah,
like,
no, he's not my mate anymore. Owes me money. I don't. But yeah, it's just stupid. That sort of shit. I find it mental that people are still wound up by that. And also, when it comes to people's jobs, like, and this again, it's probably similar to like you. People seem to like your job, so they like the fact that you're on team. They're really interested at the beginning. Until you start seeing them a little bit longer, it gets a little bit deeper, and suddenly it's a problem. Yeah. You fucking knew what I did when you met me.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've had so many relationships break down. They're like, oh, it's because you're a stripper. Oh, it's because you've got OnlyFans. Oh, it's because you're in reality. Like, how do you
love
think
that
it is
when
for
they
me?
Met you, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
Loved it.
Reaping
absolutely
all the
loved
rewards.
That. I'll take your
the
pictures for your OnlyFans, babe. I'll take them. Don't worry. I'll be your fucking photographer. How many people have said that in your DMs? But that's the prime thing, isn't it? I'm a great photographer, you know, thinking about doing a course. Fucking silly prick. But then 3 months in, they're like, well, I don't think you should be doing that anymore, babe.
Yeah.
What?
How does that make me feel? I'm like, oh, God.
Well, who gives a shit how it makes you feel? Fuck off then.
Yeah, and don't be rinsing me for everything I've got, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but yeah, that's really eye-opening. Like, I didn't think men would be judged on that, but you saying, like, you get called, like, love rat all the time, and you could be doing the nicest, kindest thing, or, like, charity work, for example, and they're still going to be, like, Pete the love rat. Like, it's fucked.
It's not as... For women, I think, to be judged on things like that is detrimental, but for guys, it's seen as like a good thing. But actually, it's not a good thing, because if you are ever looking to settle down and move on with someone, and it's quite off-putting for someone when everyone thinks that the person you're settling down with is some sort of fucking sex pest love rat.
Mm. Is it just the press, or do you get like a lot of trolling from like on Instagram?
I don't get trolling for that sort of stuff. I mean, I've had death threats over the years, and I've had people burn fucking dolls of me, and I've had all sorts of fucking shit.
No.
Yeah, I think that was a good few years ago, and I don't really get it that bad anymore, but we all get fucking shit a lot of the time. You know what I mean? But for me, I've always been quite thick skinned with that, and I know a lot of people struggle with it, but I've always been quite thick skinned with that sort of stuff, because I have a very small circle of people that I really trust, and I don't really give a shit what anyone outside of that thinks.
Mm.
Does that make sense? And that, I think that's also part of me not giving everything away on TV all the time.
Yeah,
because
that's
they can just judge that part of it. I don't have my family on TV. I don't like any of that, because that's my little bit. You know what I mean? And I don't care what people say about me, but when it's people that I love or people that are close to me, that's when I get the...
Did it ever get to you, like the trolling, when it was like new and you was like first on TOWIE?
I think because I was a bit older, and I was quite thick skinned anyway, and it honestly never really bothered me. You know, I'm not going to be one of them people that sort of says how bad it is, because I was all right with that. Other things have affected me, like that, the people coming up in the street and all that stuff, even as nice as they are, I still get embarrassed now.
Do you?
I still find it weird.
Do you not like it?
No, I love it, because everyone's so lovely and it's so nice meeting people. But sometimes if I'm with, let's say I'm with my mum or something else, I get very protective. Mm. Because if someone comes up and they're everyone, you know, it's like people come up and they give you a hug and they're like, all right, mate, I fucking love this, I love this. And then they'll go, take a picture like that to my mum.
Oh, I hate that.
Things like that. It's if I'm with other people, I get really protected, because I think they're all lovely to me, but they treat the person I'm with like a piece of shit.
Yeah. and they don't even realise that's your mum. Like, no, my best friend really gets it all the time.
Yeah, like,
they just dash the phone at him, like, oh, get us a picture, will you? And it's like, and that is my best friend. You can't just speak to him like that.
Yeah, I hate things like that. And I get more funny about that sort of stuff than all the trolling and all the messages and all that sort of stuff onto it. But I mean, it's all that sort of shit is fucking horrible. It's horrible for anyone. You know what I mean? I've always been quite thick skinned with that. But some of the stuff that I've seen and read that people have got is fucking disgusting. But it says more about the people that are doing it than it does the people they're saying it about.
100%. I feel like you're really ready to get into this. I don't think anyone can be prepared, but I feel like you're at a good stage in your life. Like, you're very confident. Like, nothing's really affected you too badly. Yeah. But, like, what advice would you give to someone looking to get into, like, the reality TV world?
Do you know what? I've been asked this question, like, so many times, like, probably same as you has, and I don't think... Same as you has... Sorry, I didn't do that well at school, as you can tell. So lucky I'm on fucking TV now, innit? But I don't really have advice for anyone because I think everyone's different. I think the only advice is more about knowing yourself. I think don't do this if you don't know yourself, because I think that's when you can become different people, and that's when you start going on a roller coaster of emotions trying to be something you're not. You need to have a good concept and a good grasp of yourself before you do anything in life. Like, you haven't got anything in life unless you've got peace of mind. And I think that's the hardest thing for a lot of people doing reality TV, is that they do it so young, at like 18, 19 years old, and they haven't lived enough yet.
Yeah.
So actually, they go from doing this mad, exciting thing and this like uphill fucking roller coaster, like this mad thing, it will come crashing down at some point, and then they've not had the life experience to be able to deal with that. And I think everyone's different, but I think, it's just knowing yourself. You've got to spend some time and really think about this stuff. Don't just get fucking wrapped up in the whole, I'm going to earn loads of fucking money and drive a nice car, and I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it, because that shit ain't all it's cracked up to be.
It really ain't. You've got to be secure in yourself.
Yeah, with anything you do. And like any job, like you said, you see it as a job, so do I. Like any job, there's ups and downs. And just because the way we live our lives is seen as like a glossy magazine on Instagram or whatever else, it ain't all like that. And you never see the bad sides to it. And there's an awful lot of bad sides. I'm very grateful, but there's an awful lot of bad sides people don't see. Mm. It's all smokes and mirrors, isn't it?
Thank you so much, Pete. It's been lovely to talk to you.
I wish I could say the same.
Rude, again.
No, I'm joking. It's been absolutely delightful.
Oh, thank you for coming.
Can't wait to come back. Just going to come again.
As long as you're coming first, it's all good.
No, babe, you've got to come first.
I can't.
And on that note, ta-da!
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please rate 5 stars and leave a review. And be sure to subscribe so you get next week's episode as soon as it lands. And remember, for the best experience, make sure you listen on the Entel app.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.